Well, joining us now is the Prime Minister, Jacinda Ardern. Good morning, Prime Minister.
Good morning.
Well, listening to that, is it realistic that New Zealand is going to be able to keep this virus out?
Well, as we said right at the time that we went into level one, we would get more cases, and we have. The important point being that they have been caught at our border.
Yes, and do you think it's on the issue of community transmission, is it realistic for New Zealanders, the team of 5 million, to expect that we are not going to have a case?
Well, that is what we are working so hard to prevent. And on that, Corin, we have had 80,000 tests, 80,000 in the last 13 days. It's actually the equivalent of about 20% of all the testing we've done since the very beginning, and have found no cases in the community. And I do think that's an important point to make, because in amongst all of the reporting around the additional cases we've had, they have all been at the border, and that hasn't always been something that's been reflected in some of the reporting.
Okay, but are you worried about how the, if we look back, putting aside the failings in the border, and I'll get to those in a minute, are you worried about the way in which New Zealand will react, understandably, I guess, if we do have a case such as Victoria?
I think that you're right, and to point out that here we are in the bottom of the world as this pandemic is surging, and it is surging, 10 million cases. We're not due to have the peak of the pandemic in South Asia and Africa until July. And so the reason that we are seeing these extra cases at our border is because this pandemic is growing, not slowing. And New Zealand has been on a different trajectory to the rest of the world. And so what you're asking is it possible to keep it that way? That is what we are putting all of our effort into. That is why we have some of the most stringent border controls in the world. It is a very difficult task, though. And so that's why all of the extra things that need to be in behind to support our ongoing status are things like contact tracing, because keeping a pandemic out when it is growing at this pace is no easy task.
Okay, well, why should we have confidence that the government has got the contact tracing system in place when this review into our border system clearly showed a number of failings? And in particular, if I could just start with the issue of ministers making policy decisions, a la testing at 3 or 12 days, and those implications not being understood by those who have to carry them out.
So I'll just come back to the first point you make, Corin. Why should we have confidence? Well, because New Zealand is in the position it's in. And as we've just set out, it is a very different position to the rest of the world, and we should not take that lightly. Our kids are playing sports. We've got our bars and restaurants open. Most countries are not in that position right now. The reason we should have confidence, though, is that we have adjusted our settings every step of the way based on what we've learnt, based on what we know is working and what needs to be done. So while there's no playbook, we have been very agile.
Yes, but this report makes it very clear, and I want to come to this point because it comes back to ministerial responsibility here, and ministers arguably not doing their jobs properly. They make policy decisions, and then those people who have to carry out those policy decisions, and this is a clear finding of the report, were unable to do it. They were, they were blindsided almost.
Well, no, that's I know the bit of the report you're referring to there, but actually the issue that you've raised around, we set a clear direction, so did the Director General of Health, we all did, and then whether or not it was happening on the ground was actually more of an issue, and without getting into a huge amount of detail, Corin, of the fact that we have MB, we have Health, we've had the police, we've had ABSEC, we've had the Defence Force, all working on quarantine, all working to try, and because there's been so many different elements.
But with respect, Prime Minister, that doesn't matter. The New Zealand public don't care about that. They want to know that the decisions that you as a cabinet make are being implemented, however it's done. And this report makes it clear they won't be, or that those people were struggling.
With respect, Corin, you asked me a question over what happened, I answered it. The reason that we have had what you describe as it's struggling is we've had a 73% increase in New Zealanders coming through the border since April into quarantine. And that has been for the precise reason, because New Zealand is in the position it is, and Kiwis want to come home. They're facing working environments where they aren't seeing any change, lockdown continue, and some of them are frankly afraid, so they're coming home. We do have the ability to manage that. What we need, though, is a system that gives us a bit more warning than just getting a passenger manifest when the doors of a plane close. So that's one of the things we can do to manage and support the people working in quarantine. Again, Cabinet's discussing today ways we can do that. But you asked me what has happened on the ground. I've told you it's no excuse, and that's why we've worked hard to fix it. But in the last 14 days, we've seen significant change in the way those facilities are operating.
So should ministers bear no responsibility for the fact that they were making and announcing decisions that, those on the ground clearly were incapable of dealing with? Isn't some ministerial responsibility there?
You're saying that we had an inability to do two rounds of tests in facilities. That's actually not correct. We had capacity for 12,000 tests a day, and at some points during that period, our testing had dropped to a point where we were asking questions around how we could get testing numbers back up. So it's not fair to say we didn't have the ability.
Well, we know that the testing didn't come in as quickly as Ashley Bloomfield wanted, and people got through.
Correct, and that is what we have worked on to fix. But, Corinne, what you're asking there is a question of accountability. We've all been taking responsibility for this. There is not one individual person here to blame for what has been a system failure. But I've always been of the view that rather than getting into the nitty-gritty of an individual scapegoat, we just have to fix it, and that is exactly what we've done. 80,000 tests, a large number in our facilities, and at this point we continue to catch everything at the border.
Why, given that you've put in place, you brought in a new minister, you've put in place the military, you've now had 2 weeks, why has the system not been fixed to a level where you are confident about compassionate exemptions?
Well, we have the report that you're referring to actually just looks at the whole quarantine piece, and so we prioritised that. And now we're working through as rapidly as we can the provisions around compassionate leave. And so these are a dual process. We just happen to have got the one out of on quarantine and managed isolation out the gate first, because that we need to get those basic rights, those basic elements right in order to support compassionate leave.
Do you think that the criticisms of your government and its handling of the quarantine over the last 2 weeks have been fair?
Well, I do just want to put, you know, a bit more perspective around, look, Corinne, speaking frankly, you will never find anyone that will be tougher on us than me. You know, I will be a tough critic on us. I will absolutely acknowledge when we have weeks that are better than other weeks. And this has been the case over the last couple of weeks. However, we have the strictest quarantine regime in the world. No one has been quarantining and mandating testing at the border, but we have. This is a pandemic that is growing, 10 million cases, and look where New Zealand is with our kids playing sport and us all out and about. So, look, I acknowledge there are things that we do need to address, but I will also, again, remind people of the position that we are in, which makes us unique.
There will be some, of course, who will be thinking or feeling that you should have been much tougher on your Health Minister, David Clark.
And again, this comes back to the point that I was making before. You know, actually, Dr. Bloomfield and Dr. Clark have been a part of the wider team of all Kiwis who have put in an enormous effort to get us where we are. They both have actually been saying exactly the same thing about what they think has happened here. No one has been placing blame at anyone's individual feet, because actually that wouldn't be right. It was a system failure. We fixed it.
Is that, well, David Clark was pretty much laying the blame at the feet of Ashley Bloomfield, wasn't he? And we saw that on TV.
That is, Corinne, he actually said exactly the same thing that Dr. Bloomfield had said in the last 48 hours, referring to some of the issues that we have had with this.
A bit rough saying it in front of him, though, wasn't it?
Well, the entire transcript, if you read it, he also talks about what an exceptional public servant Dr. Bloomfield is. Look, I've been in the same room with both of these individuals over the past few weeks. They have an excellent working relationship.
Would you have said it in front of them?
Actually, not daylight between them. And again, having seen what has been said, this was not about blaming any one individual, including Dr. Bloomfield, at all, particularly given the enormous role he's played.
Just wanted to ask you, the European Union looks to be opening up its borders to some selected countries. There's a suggestion that New Zealand could be part of that list. How would it work for a New Zealander? Because there's an advisory not to travel, but technically I guess they could if they could get a flight. Mm. If they wanted to fly to the EU, would they be able to do that? And then would you charge them if they came back for quarantine?
Yeah. I think that's a really good question, because you're knowingly at that point, Corinne, going out. knowing that you would have to quarantine when you come back. And I do think we should give a little bit of thought as to whether or not that's fair. It's one case to say Kiwis coming back who have been overseas for a long period of time. It's another to say that you're knowingly leaving the country and then imposing that extra burden on your return. But look, it is a bit too soon to say what the EU is doing. They're working through a bit of a process where they're looking to have what they're calling a white list of third countries where travel restrictions would be lifted from the 1st of July. But my understanding is they're still working through that.
And just finally, very quickly on the Greens, you have ruled out a capital gains tax.
Yep.
Forever as a leader, right? Does that include a wealth tax or is that sufficiently different to consider?
Oh, again, this is the Greens' policy. It is not our policy. We will have our own policies on tax, which we will put out before the election. But look, you know, I've had a little look. I think one of the things I would say is that it is notoriously difficult to make assumptions about revenue, but I think there are some fairly heroic assumptions in some of that policy.
In principle, do you support the idea of a wealth tax?
Again, look, Corin, this is not my policy. We will have our own, and I imagine it will look very different to that one.
Prime Minister Jacinda Ardern, thank you very much for your time.